Well, hello, everyone. I'm Ben. I'm one of the other elders. I know I've already been up here speaking, but sometimes I forget to share that, and if people come in and don't know me, then it's awkward later. And I'm going to be having some of the other elders help me out. Actually, if I could have Rick here, I'm going to give you this handheld because we're going to be using this later today. I'm going to give a short introduction, but one of the things that I've said before is I come up here and I'm one of the, I'm the primary preacher here at Radiant, but when I come up and preach, it's not just me up here diving into God's word. It's us as a family coming under his authority and his word. So it's a family affair when we get into his word. And what I love about Thank You Jesus Sunday is it just accents that so much more. So I'm just going to give a short introduction, and then Rick here is going to be passing the mic around for those of you who want to thank Jesus today. But I want to start off just with scripture to set the tone, to help us get into the atmosphere of what Jesus wants to do in our hearts. So it's in Psalm 145. I'm just going to read the first seven verses. It says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. So what would cause us to bless the Lord every day? What is the reason for where we could have one generation declaring how awesome God is to another generation? What would cause it to where not only are we here today celebrating what Jesus has done, but then our kids are repeating it later? What would cause that? Well, it's Jesus. It's what the gospel does within our hearts. The good news of who Jesus is and what he has done is that powerful to cause us to come up with that great of a praise. See, I was hanging out with my daughter last night, and she's 10 years old, and I'm learning what it's like to parent a 10-year-old, and it's like a whole new era for me, and I'm trying to learn and handle what that's like. And she was struggling with some things and just asked me, like, Dad, give me five good reasons for how you can hear God. I was like, all right, we're getting into those questions, you know, at 9 p.m. at night. All right, let's get into this. And what I did as God was leading me was just to share my story. And it wasn't the full story. It was just sharing, let me just share you with you how God showed up in my life, because that was God speaking to me. Let me share with you when I was close in real despair and wanted to give up on life and how Jesus spoke to me in that moment. You know, let me share with you how you became adopted by your mom today and what that was like, and that you have a mom today is a miracle. Let me share with you all these different things, because I can give you more than five reasons for how God is speaking. I can give you an abundant reasons, because that's the power of the gospel. When we realize that we're hopeless, that we're sinners, that this life is messed up, and we know it, everyone knows it, whether you believe in God or not. We're all sinners. We've gone against God and his good ways and the way he set up the earth. And then, what does he do? What does God do? He comes in the form of a human, fully God, fully man, and he eventually dies on the cross, taking that full eternal weight and punishment that our sins deserve. He took it upon the cross. He took it there for us, that scandalous night that we just sang about. But the beauty is that he didn't stay dead. It's that he rose again and that he's able to offer us life, an abundant life, not just a little bit, but abundant, eternal life. And he set the pathway up that he has a promise. He's like, I set in motion the victory when I rose again. But the final victory is still yet to come, and I'm going to return. And we look forward to that. We hope in that, knowing that he will come, that we're his church spreading his kingdom. And we don't have to be enslaved anymore. We don't have to be enslaved to our desires. We don't have to be crushed by this broken world. We can actually stand up in the midst of, with boldness, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of everything that's happened, and say, yeah, I follow Jesus and he's enough, and I have every reason to be thankful. So when you read a psalm like this, that's just flowery and talking about praising Jesus, maybe even when you're reading it, you're like, I don't know if I can thank Jesus. But I can guarantee you, just like with my daughter, I wasn't prepared right then to be like, oh man, life is so great. Let me just tell you about how awesome it is right now. No, it's just like, let me just pause for a minute and share with you, though, all the past and how even today, regardless of what's going on, I can hear God, I can praise him, and I can thank him. This is what Thank You Jesus Sunday is all about, because each of you have stories that even this week, you've got ways where if you just pause for a moment in the silence, you can say, thank you, Jesus. And I was in our prayer time beforehand. We pray from 3 to 4, and we were just sharing some stories. And there's some hard stuff going on, like even Mike was sharing, that there's beautiful things, but there's some really hard things going on. And that even in the midst of that, when we look, and maybe we can't feel it, maybe we can't even see it, but because of our faith, we can say, Jesus, you're here, and you're working, and you're good. So that's what we're going to do. So just as a reminder, the encouragement is for you to share something that you're thankful for that Jesus has done this year, and or this year being 2022, this last year, or beyond that. If you got something that you're just, God's been hitting you lately of like, man, I did this work in your heart like 10 years ago, thank him for that. That's totally fine. Or share something in the ways you're looking forward into this next year where you see God wanting you to grow more. Share that with the family so we can be praying for you, so that we can be supporting you along with that. So two things, a thank you or a way that you see that God wants you to grow in this next year. So to get things started off, Rick, if you can take the mic back to Linda Dighton. Linda, not only is she a part of this church, wants to share her thank you, but she also recently begun working at the Find Out Free Crisis Pregnancy Center, and she'll let you know what this Sunday is because I can't remember the title of it, but she's going to share on behalf of that. She's like, man, can I share? Seems a little awkward for Thank You Jesus Sunday, and I was like, no, this is like perfect. So she gets to have a little bit of extra time because she's sharing on behalf of the Find Out Free Center, but it's a perfect time just to be able to celebrate, but also to hear about ways we can serve the Crisis Pregnancy Center as a church, and also be in prayer over our sister in Christ. So, Linda, you can start us off.
Thank you. Hey, so if you haven't met me, I'm Linda. I'm both incredibly nervous right now and excited to get to share my thank you, Jesus, and about Sanctity of Human Life Sunday.
Yeah.
That's the day. I would love to be able to have the time to share all the details of how Jesus has so tenderly and compassionately worked in my heart over the last few years. But I'm going to try to be really concise. I want to start by sharing this verse. It's John 10:10, and it's, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So through some painful losses and various trials in my life, the thief showed up and started to speak lies over me and creep into my thinking, and I lost sight of how deeply God loved me and how he had created me with a good plan and a purpose. I felt so far from the abundant life Jesus offers. I had begun to feel like a failure in many areas of my life, and I couldn't seem to see how to move past all the ways I didn't measure up. And I am so grateful for how faithful Jesus is and how he met me in that pain. And he started bringing hope and healing into my life. I'm so grateful. There's many friends in this room that I did DNA with or in GC that helped me walk this journey. I'm so thankful for being able to be open and vulnerable with them and being able to come to better understand my story through professional counseling. He used counseling and he used friends. But I realized, like, Jesus was the one guiding this whole process, bringing light and truth back into areas where darkness and lies had crept in. This year, this verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, has been so powerful in combating the lies that the thief had put in my mind. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is in this confidence of his work that his grace is sufficient for me in all my weakness, that it gave me the boldness to start stepping into areas of ministry that he was leading me, with the belief that I was loved by him and created with a plan and the purpose. An opportunity came up for me to start volunteering at Find Out, which ended up leading into a staff position there. I am so honored to be involved in this ministry, and I know that everything I've walked through, all the pain, gave me a heart that was more empathetic to people who are suffering, and a boldness to speak truth and love, desiring to see people walk an abundant life. I am so grateful to be a part of this work. So, which leads to the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. So, this day was started by Ronald Reagan in 1984, and he started it in response to Roe v. Wade being passed in 1973. This day is just an opportunity to ponder what we believe about the sanctity of human life, and then how does that impact how we live? So the idea that human life is sacred, holy, and precious is rooted in our belief that all humans were made in the image of God, and from conception to natural death, are intrinsically valuable and worth defending. So thank you, Jesus, we're at our first Sanctity of Human Life Day since Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I think right now, more than ever, the body of Christ needs to lead in love as we wait to see how this decision plays out in individual states. Because we know that regardless of what a law says, men and women are still going to be faced with pregnancies that they did not plan. And we know that only Jesus can change hearts and bring hope. So what does leading with love on this issue look like? Well, I believe that being pro-life means being pro-abundant life. And being pro-life isn't just being anti-abortion. It involves looking at people's whole stories, getting to know them, caring about them, listening, praying, providing and connecting them with resources, and being willing to walk beside them in humility, compassion, and grace as they navigate this huge life decision. This is happening at Find Out. We're a Christ-centered ministry that empowers women, men, and families making pregnancy and parenting decisions through life-affirming healthcare, education, and compassionate support. There are ways to join the work we're doing. You can join through prayer. You can join by volunteering time or financial resources. But before I conclude, I just want to speak, if there's any woman that's sitting here that's been impacted by a past abortion, I want you to know that there's forgiveness and there's a path to healing because of the work Christ did on the cross. If you want to reach out, there are resources to walk through that journey at Find Out. And if there's anyone currently sitting here facing a pregnancy decision and they feel stuck and overwhelmed, there's people to talk to there. As the body of Christ, this is a huge opportunity to love our community well and to point them to a loving Creator. As you consider growth goals for 2023, I would encourage you to consider learning more about what Find Out does in Safe Families, who's providing so much support to families in need. Find out how you can lead with love in the places God has planted you and in the places he might be sending you. I put a list of 31 ways to be pro-abundant life on the table in the lobby if you're looking for practical ideas of next steps. And I just want to encourage you, God wants to use your life. I grew up in the church, and I was in a place where I lost sight of the fact that God had a good plan and a good purpose for me. And this is still in process. He's still reminding me that, he does. He has a good plan and a good purpose, no matter how dark it gets sometimes. He will walk you through that. And so, anyway, thanks for letting me share.
All right, well, thank you, Linda. So you may be like Linda, and speaking into a mic is a terrifying experience, which you did great, by the way. But I want to encourage you, this is time for family. And it's okay. You're speaking to your family, and even though it can be hard to speak into a mic, like, we need to hear you. So don't let that get in the way. All right. Any hands? Who wants to share next?
I think Teague did.
Hi. Linda inspired me. I came with something to talk about, and Linda inspired me to talk about a different, well, I'll talk about both, I guess. But so recently, we hosted, in Safe Families, we hosted for Mom S and her three-year-old son. And through that, there's an ongoing relationship that happened there, and now that family actually has power of attorney with the son because she just felt like she couldn't parent anymore, which is not a normal Safe Family situation. But she has stayed in contact with myself and with this host family, and then she found out she was pregnant. And she was like, I'm having an abortion. I can't do this. I won't do this. Just lots of anger and frustration and fear. And our host family took her to find out. And she spent 3.5 hours there together. And she has chosen life so far. And what I found out yesterday was that the same day that she went to find out, she also had a Planned Parenthood appointment. And she went to find out first. And she canceled her appointment at Planned Parenthood. And I just thank you, Jesus, because that's what it's about. Because a host family took the time out of her schedule. This is a mom of 6 children. She does not have time to spend 3.5 hours at a doctor's appointment, but she did it anyway. And because we value life. And, we say all the time with Safe Families, every single one of the mamas that we work with Safe Families chose life. And this is as we as a church get to walk that out. And so I love that you mentioned that too. So, I was just like, thank you, Linda. That's an awesome segue to just what God did with Mom S. So if you can keep praying for her, she still is teetering, but she is choosing baby names. So that tells us that maybe she'll continue to choose life. The other thing is for our family, for the past 2.5 years, we have known little Essie Love, and she has been living with us for about 1.5 years, and we finally have an adoption date, and so thank you, Jesus, for that. And also, just she is in a really great place health-wise, and so after 4 successful heart surgeries, she is finally doing really, really well. So thank you, Jesus, for that.
So. Awesome.
Don't rush too fast. Thank you, Teague.
So, I'm Ethan Mann. I've been coming to Radiant for about 1 year now, and this past year, God's really just done a lot to take my faith from kind of growing up in the church and knowing him as God to knowing him in a personal way, and people at Radiant, the community as a whole, has been really, really impactful in helping me to know God and walk out my day-to-day life with him in a more relationship way instead of just devotion and dedication to somebody I didn't really know. And he's been good to bring me in contact with people at work or people just in town through random chance encounters to help me to learn more about him and give me a community and build me up. And now I've seen at the second half of this past year, he's really been helping me and preparing me to go out and do the same for other people. And whether that's at my workplace, putting me in positions with people that don't know him at all and really need somebody that is willing to share about Jesus to them, or just being someone that can help out. And I would not be that person if others weren't that way for me. And God has been really good about orchestrating that, leading me to those people, especially through everyone here at Radiant. So thank you, Jesus. Thank all of you all as well. So this has been a great year.
Who's next? All right.
Hello, I just started coming to Radiant probably in the summer, and it's been a very difficult year. It's a lot of challenges, but this might sound weird, but thank you, Jesus, for those struggles, because coming out on top of them whole has kind of shown me how much Jesus is present and helps us through those things. And this was embarrassing, so thank you for listening.
Okay, I've got two, because pretend I'm Sarah Widman. She's not here, but she said, thank you, God, for putting together Ben, myself, Coralie, and Layden as a family. It is a miracle in my eyes that God has brought us together out of very broken situations. Okay, hat off. I'm Cassie now. I am so thankful for the people that God has brought me through this year in the worst moments of my life. People in this church and people outside the church, and just bringing them all together to be there for me. And it has been amazing the ways that God has shown up for me and for my kids. So anyway, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Who else is next? And the other thing, remember Ben mentioned we can ask praying about something going forward. So there's two opportunities. Patrick is going to take one or both.
Well, I'm going to stand up here because I do better not looking around behind me. So I really have two things really quick. The first thing is I thank Jesus for the opportunity to be able to serve your guys' kids. A few months ago, God just really laid it on some hearts of some couples here that we needed to start pouring into 10 and above. We've seen that as just a great thing that we could be serving him through. So with the Severins and with Zachary and Ashley, we have been able to do that since last year. We've been able to do the 10 and above, and we want to continue to do that because we know in a couple years there's going to be a lot of 10 and above. And so I just want to praise God for the opportunity to pour into your guys' kids, because it is such a joy to see some of your kids are very smart, and they challenge us, and that is great to see how you guys are pouring into them. And so a prayer for that would be that we just continue to do that in faithfulness as we work with Mike and the next season in serving your guys' kids, and then the next ones in a couple of months that will be moving up to the age group, we want to be pouring into them. So second thing is I had opportunity this year to go with Ben and the other elders to our elder retreat. Not retreat, but meeting, we'll say that. And the thing that I brought out of that was hard and beautiful also, just like Mike. You just really don't know what the heart of Radiant is. I sit there and I listen to all the other churches pouring into their community and focusing on what we can do for the whole state of Alaska. That is awesome. You guys just don't know what's going on in this state. It needs the gospel, and these leaders of these other churches are pouring their lives into reaching communities, cities, planning on sending guys to plant churches in other places in Alaska where it may not be as big as Fairbanks or big as Anchorage or some of these other places. It may be fly-in villages. It may be places where the gospel is not yet to be heard or seen. And, you know, if I'm very mission-minded. I love missions. I get excited when I get to talk about missions. But that is what we're here for. That is what we're here for, is to spread the gospel, take the gospel to those that have never heard, and then disciple them into knowing who Christ is in their life. So, second prayer, pray for Radiant. Pray for Alaska. Pray for this state. If some of you don't know me, I'm not from here. I'm a Southern guy who God called our family up to serve at a camp to pour into many hundreds of kids every summer. But I want to thank Jesus for leading us to Radiant. When we had opportunity to visit churches, this was it. And God made it very clear before we even moved here that when we unpacked our trailer and we set up our home and started our ministry, that week that we would be coming to our family. And for the last almost 5 years now, you guys have been family. And I just want to thank Jesus for Radiant being here and us being a part of you guys. So thank you, Jesus.
We'll give you a full report on that elders retreat later, but it was a sweet time. We got to see our brother Caleb again, and he brought us brisket on Friday night, smoked brisket. Let me just tell you, we didn't lose weight, but we did have a good fellowship. Brother Bob's going to speak.
Yeah, hey, my name's Bob. Long time ago, I was a missionary pilot for 30 years in Alaska. And when we started out, we didn't have very much resources at all. We came up, and Dr. Elmer Gady let us live on his homestead in a log cabin. And if it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have been able to reside in Alaska at all. We went, because of our income, we traveled out to the lower 48 on furlough every 4 years in old vehicles. And when Ben was talking about our granddaughter asking the way God speaks to you, believe me, looking back, there's been plenty of ways God's has spoken to us and things that are absolutely miraculous that I could share with you. When you head out on a 10,000-mile trip in an old vehicle, not knowing how you're going to have enough finances to make that trip, and God provides, that in itself is a miracle. When I was in college at a somewhat liberal institution, we had a religion prof, and for those of you that don't know me, I grew up as a missionary kid in Africa with some amazing people who I probably caused more trouble for than I was worth. As a kid, and so, you know, those people made a big impact on my life. I became a Christian in Africa because my peer group changed, and they were examples to me, and I was in this religion class, and my religion professor said, you know, how many of you believe in miracles? And he's waving his eyebrows up and down, kind of mocking the idea. I was the only person in the class that raised their hand because I believe I had witnessed miracles. Count on it, you know. I believe in miracles. You know, well, the way God talks to you, looking back, I would encourage you all to look back because, like I said before, there are miracles. And looking back, I can count that as proof in my life. But this year I was going into work, and I don't know, it just hit me, you know. I was looking down at the ground, and it suddenly hit me, you know, boy, Lord, I am glad I'm not alone. And what would this life be like without you? What kind of hope would I have without you, you know? It'd be a pretty miserable place, you know. And all of the great things that I've enjoyed because of the Lord. And, you know, my heart kind of went out to some of the people I work with that don't have that hope, and I tried to imagine what it would be like for them. I'm in a job that doesn't allow me to talk about my faith, but my hope is that I'll be an example to them. The other thing that I'm grateful for is my wife, who I think it's, how many years, 42? 43. 43 years. And a while back, she got her counseling degree, and she's a school counselor now, and I joke to her, I say, you know, you owe me big time for all the counseling experience that you have gotten with me. She's been a great counselor. I'm really glad for that. I've been wonderfully blessed by somebody in my life for 43 years that has put up with me, who has given me great counsel. And so I'm super glad for that. And as life goes on, I become aware every year of how I need to grow more. My hope is for this year that will continue. And I just am glad I'm not without hope because of Jesus. So thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. I missed a hint. There we go.
I don't know whether or not I was planning on doing this or not, but my name's Pierce, to those of you who I haven't met. I have a tendency to ramble, so I apologize if this gets a little bit long-winded, but my name's Pierce, and I've been going here for a little bit. I started going here for a tiny bit before I started going to Jubilee, but I've returned now, and I gotta say, over the past a little over a year, I've had a lot of things to be grateful for. So I'm just gonna start throwing them out here. So I met a girl, and so for those of you who do know me, you know that we're getting married in 20 days from now, and so I'm rather excited about that, and I'm very thankful for that. Hearing you talk about 43 years, I'm looking forward to being able to experience those myself. So, it's I'm very thankful for God putting a woman in my life who's been able to show me God's voice in my life as well. And I've been able to see God through her and the wonderful growth that I've gotten to see in her through God, and also just the counsel that she's been able to render to me. And so I'm very grateful for that. And so during this growth process, I have gotten to be spoken to a lot too. I've grown a lot, and I have a lot more growing to do, but I just wanted to say voice my thankfulness for those who have been there for me during this growth process, in particular Ben and Sarah Widman. They've been our premarital counselors for quite a few months now, and they've been able to pour so much love into our lives, and we're very thankful for that, and we wouldn't have been able to grow in the ways that we have without God working through them, and so I'm thankful for that. Carl, right when I was first considering, let's have Ashley and I just get married, I went through a major backpedaling phase. I got all freaked out. I thought I knew what marriage exactly was, and then as I started thinking about it, I'm like, wait, is this really what I want? I meet with Carl, and I'm trying to study the Bible, and every day I'm waking up and I'm looking, like trying to find out what marriage is supposed to be. And I talk to Carl, and we meet at a McDonald's parking lot on his work break for like 2 hours. And and so we just begin talking, and he helped speak to me through that. And so it was a great blessing. So thank you, Carl, and Amanda by extension. So that's about it. There's so much more to be thankful for, but I'll be standing here a lot longer, and I need to get the show on the road. So. Yeah.
Thank you, Paris. I saw a hand somewhere. Who's next? Bob.
Well, his name's Bob. My name's Bob, too. So, so mine seems insignificant. All yours have dealt with changed lives. Mine just deals with stuff, but God is so good. Our house is heated with a boiler, condensing boiler. It's a real nice, I think it's well-made, very efficient. However, they were brought in from Europe into the United States, and they didn't really take off. So for years, they have not been available. And now parts are not even available. So I've been stressing out over this a little bit, not totally, but every year or so, when I clean the boiler in usually November, I would say, Lord, what am I going to do when this thing dies? And anyway, so this November, I cleaned the boiler, November 25th, and I checked it, afterwards, and the pressure was dropping. And I'd pressure it up again, and the next day the pressure would be dropping. And for 2 weeks, I was trying to figure out, where's the leak? I looked everywhere in the house, everywhere, couldn't find a leak. Then I said, oh no, it must be in the slabs. I have three zones in the slabs. I checked all three zones. I closed one off, the other, and I closed them all off. It kept leaking. Somewhere there's water going out. Finally, I texted a couple of boiler guys, and they both, one guy called me right up, and another guy texted me right back, and they said, Bob, I think it's leaking into the boiler, into the firebox of your boiler. I said, oh, no, that's not good. So went home that night. Sure enough, there was 6 inches of water inside my boiler, and it was all sooted up. I had just cleaned it. It was all sooted up because oil doesn't like to burn in with water. So anyway, that's one storyline. Now, so then it kept leaking faster and faster as the few days I'm trying to figure out what to do. Well, simultaneously for the last several years, we've been thinking about changing the boiler at work. It happens to be similar to my boiler. Anyway, we went out for bids, and we selected a contractor, and it got scheduled. It was, so this, I discovered on Tuesday that I needed a new boiler. The schedule was Thursday, we were gonna pull the boiler out of the shop and get a whole new system. And so on Wednesday, I cleaned out my mechanical room, which was a shambles over all these years. We've been in the same house 40 years. And on Thursday, we pulled the boiler out at work. I cleaned it, and I put it in at my house, and it's been working great. So God did, I mean, the timing is just unbelievable. To the day when I had to have that boiler, it was there. And he granted the desire of my heart, which was to clean up my mechanical room. So.
Thank you, Bob.
My name's Amanda, and I just want to say that the thing I'm thankful for is that this last year has had a lot of really high highs and a lot of really low lows, and one of my favorite songs was one that we sang this morning, or earlier, Jesus is running after you, and I just want to say that I know that he's been running after me my whole life, and he hasn't stopped just because there's mountains in the way, and we're going to conquer them, and he'll be right there chasing after us, and just thankful for that.
Thank you, Amanda. God is good. Yeah, Josh.
I think most of you know me, but my name is Zach. So me and my wife, Ashley, got stationed here a little over a year ago in November of 2021. And so I'm probably going to get emotional, but we've been coming here a little over a year now, and, you know, society's expectation for, you know, young married couples in their earlier mid-20s is that you're supposed to go do whatever you want to do and live your life, and, you know, it's a season to intentionally make mistakes and things like that, but we made the decision when we got married that we weren't going to waste the decade of our life, that we could serve God with that freedom and with those resources that we've never had. And then one day I came home on my lunch break in September of last year, and my wife held a pregnancy test up in the kitchen, so that made lunch taste a little different. But you know, we're super excited, but a part of what came with finding out that great news, and we were trying, so we were super stoked about it, but I am a victim of a lot of childhood trauma that I never had any intention of dealing with. And I think the news of finding out that, you know, I was going to be a dad, and remembering the things that I saw my dad do, started taking those walls down. And, you know, like when you think about your walls coming down, like I think the way I put it in GC, I was joking about it. It was like you want God to take your walls down like little styrofoam blocks that he kind of just like really easily like picks the blocks and throws them away, but it's actually more like a metal sledgehammer hitting a brick wall, and it sounds bad, and it feels bad, and it looks bad, and it's just been kind of bad, but I'm so thankful that I was able somehow at age 21 to marry the wonderful lady that God's put in my life, and it's been it's been great to have her by my side as I've been dealing with all of these things. And for my GC friends, I mean, it's kind of crazy. The men in my GC, they're friends of mine, but they're all at least 15 years older than me. So they're friends and they're mentors. They're like buddies and dads at the same time. So it's just a really particularly special season of life for me and Ashley, because I'm 23 and she has her 27th birthday tomorrow. So that's exciting. But we just don't want to let any of this time pass us by and us not be seeking to serve God the best way that we can. And through prayer, all of those opportunities have came up for us working with the youth. Ashley just took over as the hospitality coordinator this year from Amy, and worship team's been a big blessing in my life as well. And I just want to thank you all for your relentless support of us. So, thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Who else wants to share a story? Share a thanks, a praise. Prayer for next year on your partnership goals. Who wants to share something? Well, maybe I'll share thanks for this year. You know that I often go to the rescue mission on Sundays, and our brother Pete Kelly, of course, leads out the rescue mission, and that has been a real blessing to me, just to be able to serve there. There's another group I serve with. It's called the Safe Drivers of Alaska, the Victims Impact Panel. And both of those, that is a group of DUI offenders that is required as a condition of getting their license or meeting their requirements for the DUI to go to this one-night class. And there's a number of us community speakers. Most of them are DUI victims. That is, somebody that might have been hit by a drunk driver or involved in some fashion and their family was impacted. Well, I go there as a former DUI offender. 20 years ago, I had a driving under the influence. And I haven't drank since that time. God be praised, I just made that choice. But it allows me to go there and share my story of that event. Thankfully, no one was hurt during that event. I think I've told the story before. It happened to be Sheree and our anniversary. It clearly was a memorable one. Not to make light of it, because it was my fault, my sin. But God used it for good. In so many ways. And this is one of them, because I get to go there monthly and tell these people my story, and I share two things. One, make different choices. You can do that. And two, there's hope. You don't have to be defined by this. And so for me, I guess my thanks is realizing that working at the mission, sharing my story on occasion, seeing people there, I can help them understand that they don't have to be defined by their time in life, by whatever it is that they've done to be at the mission, losing their job, doing something wrong, or in the case of the drivers that they were driving under the influence. God is a redeeming God. He's redeemed me, and it allows me to work through this. And believe me, I'm confronted by my sinfulness. And I can be confronted by the enemy, by the shame of a 20-year-ago event. But God reminds me that my identity is in Jesus, and he sees me as pure. And so that is a thanks just to be able to serve, but also that for me, what it allows in my own personal growth. And so just thank you for for the opportunity to serve you. So here's one of my things for next year, speaking of how you could pray about this, the rescue mission. Way cool place, and I think there's more opportunity for more radiant people to come and serve in some ways. So I don't know how I'm going to call you guys. I may just say let's have coffee after No, it'd have to be a coffee in the morning because this is at night. But to get some ideas for coming once a month to the service, this is a 10:30 in the morning service. Maybe we play some music there. Maybe somebody preaches. I'll often preach. So just want to encourage you to look at this as an opportunity for a service. So pray about that. Pray for your role. Pray for me and how I might call you and serve the community better at the rescue mission. Thank you. Somebody else? The crowd grows silent. Does that mean it's time, Ben? Oh, no. Yay.
Thanks. So I guess this is just kind of like a thank you, Jesus, off of, well, we're works in process, right? So still working on this one. But on our pledge cards last year, I think I turned mine about 6 months late, but regardless, it still rings true. But the things that I wanted to work on, the Lord was really laying the James verse on my heart about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because my flesh is completely opposite of those things. Some people have an easier time with that, but I can be a very passionate, hot-headed person. This is kind of like a thank you, Jesus, for what he's doing and a prayer and moving forward. But recently I've been having a lot of butting heads with a coworker and was really wrestling with, like, how to deal with it and coming before the Lord. And like, he kept bringing that verse to mind, like, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And then, you know, one day I was finally, like, crying on the way home with Chuck because we drive home together from base. And I was like, I don't know what it is. Like, is it my pride? Like, is that why I'm fighting him? And I was like, I feel like I have to win, like, in these, you know, these conversations we're having and we're having conflict. And Chuck was like, you don't have to win. And, like, there was kind of that moment, you know, the competitive side that's like, no, I have to win. But, like, you know, the Lord was kind of laying on my heart, like, you really don't, like, your flesh shouldn't win, you know? And I think this has been, you know, y'all were sharing, like, there's been some hard stuff where, like, it hurts to go through some of that redemptive work, but he's been, in his grace, showing me that that I need to let go and let go of being right and not have my opinion be the predominant one in the room, and that it's okay to be quick to listen and to hear others out, even if you don't agree, and that you should be slow to speak, because sometimes that fleshly response is what is destructive, and slow to become angry. And I think in doing that, like, he's allowing room to be created for him to step in. And so moving forward, that's my prayer too, because we're, you know, kind of in a same boat as you guys, where we're having babies about the same time. And so that's also in the mind, like, oh, goodness, we're going to be parents this year. And, like, I really think that quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry is probably just going to be the same exact thing for this year, because we're going to need a whole lot of that moving forward. So thank you, Jesus, for his redemptive work and what he's doing.
Thank you, Allison.
All right, I think that's a good one to end on. I just want to finish this off by just sharing a little bit about our church and where we're going to be headed and kind of wrap that up. So I was at this gathering together of Radiant elders across the state, and one of the guys shared a story with me that just, to me, emphasized so much of what we've heard, this idea of, like, hard and beautiful. It was a story of a fig tree, so it's very biblical, and I love that. But James Marchetti, he leads Radiant Anchorage. He went to visit a friend in California and went down to his farm. And in this barn, there was a fig tree, and it was big. It was old. It was still bearing fruit. It was awesome. It was great. Well, the man who owned it was like, I want this to be healthy and taken care of, so he hired an arborist. Now, many of you have probably heard that spiritual analogy of, like, sometimes God's got to prune for new growth to happen. But what struck me about this story was how he went about telling it. He's like, yeah, so I'm sitting there with my buddy, and we're watching this arborist go at it, and he starts cutting. He gets to this one point, and we're like, yeah, that's a good point. This is looking like it's pretty good. And then he kept going. Like, okay, all right, so he's going more. This might be a little too much. He kept going. And it got to the point where by the time the arborist was done, his buddy leaned over and told James, I think I just lost my money, because it looked like the tree was dead. It was, he cut back so much off this beautiful tree. And then maybe you would think, like, all right, well, let's see what happens this next year. Well, it didn't take a year for it to grow back. It took several years. But by the time it actually got to the point where it filled in that new growth, it was bigger, healthier, and bearing better fruit than ever. What struck me about that story was the length of time. I'd heard things about, like, pruning and what that meant. But when I heard that length of time, I was like, you're speaking to me right now, Jesus. Because this last month has been super hard for me in leading Radiant in a lot of different ways. And the reason why is because my mentor who planted this church, he left in 2018 to go plant a new church. And I was thinking, all right, sweet. So it'll be a little bit of time, and then we're going to be back up rocking, and it's going to be awesome. Well, 2 years after he left, it was 2020. And we had a new lead elder at that point, Lauren. The year after that, Lauren had the lead for family medical reasons. And then our building got sold. And then, you know, even then, it was kind of like, all right, it's okay, a little bit more. This is going to be fine. We're going to come back. And the plan this last summer was like, all right, you know, there's going to be a new building. We'll be able to gather in the morning, and people will come out of the woodworks. This is going to be awesome. We started knocking on doors trying to find a gathering space. It didn't happen. In fact, it got to the point where right before I left for this recent trip, I had found a church that meets at 3 p.m. They've got a good building. And I was like, oh, sweet. I reached out to them, left them a message like, hey, we're just kind of curious. We don't know you guys really well, but maybe this will work. We'll be able to rent a space. At this meeting, I get a text, not a call, a text that says, hey, we use our building all the time. You won't be able to meet at our space. I was just like, man, are you serious? And then what was great was that this story about the fig tree had just been shared. And so I laughed. I was like, I see what you're doing, God. So what I'm thankful for, in this church, first of all, is just faithfulness. As God prunes, reveals the family, reveals who we are and what we've been called to do. So I'm thankful for you guys and what God is doing. And what I'm also thankful for is in the midst of that and learning that and thinking about this next year, a year ago I shared this vision that we need to unify and mobilize around making disciples that make disciples. It's really just grabbing the things that we've had ever since the beginning and saying, hey, let's remember who we are and let's move forward in action. And I really believe that second part is what this year is, where we mobilize together in action to make more disciples. But here's the thing. This is what came out of it too, was that what's going to do that, what's going to make that happen is by us reaching into our community, us re-seeing the vision that God has for us. There are people who don't know Jesus. And we don't need more church people to come into our church. We need people who have never heard the gospel to hear it and come in as we reach out with our stories and share what God is doing in our life. And so what encouraged me in that is like, you know what? I don't know how long we're going to be meeting at 4 p.m. And unfortunately, I can't stand up here and be like, hey, guys, guess what? Tomorrow we're going to have a new gathering space. I can't do that today. But I am so encouraged and thankful that God is working and that what you just heard here today, this is Radiant. Can you hear God? Can you hear what he's doing? Can you hear the stories that haven't even been told? Because I know people here are scared of a mic and don't want to share, but I know that just like with my daughter, that we could go for hours, especially if there wasn't a mic involved. And so beyond hours, I believe God still has Radiant here for a reason. He's made us to be gospel communities that are reaching out into this city, and we're going to keep going whether we gather at 4 p.m., whether we've got messes that we're dealing with, whether we've got all this life going on, and maybe you're in that place where it feels like God is, like, trimming and pruning your heart, and you're like, God, please, like, just stop. Like, this is hurting so much. But I can guarantee you, because of his promises and his word, that growth is right around the corner. And I believe that for our church as well. So I wanted to share that with you guys. We're going to have more things that we're going to be sharing down the road. But just consider this as we think about mobilizing. First of all, we're in the book of Matthew. And here in a little bit, we're going to be gathering stories, and I hope from a lot of you, about what it's looked like to be in the workplace, to be at home with your kids, to be in communities, neighborhoods, parent-kid relationships, whatever it is, where you've seen God use you to share your faith radically, to share your story and what that looks like. And I want those permeated in our times together here as we go through Matthew with that idea of following Jesus. So consider where your spheres of influence are, where God has you, where he wants you to reach out. If you could draw invisible lines from your heart to all the places you have influence in, God has you there for a reason, and you're planted for mission. We hope to see our GCs grow and to be able to see new avenues and new creative ways. We got GCs full of kids, full of life, and we're in new seasons where it's like, how do we do this? How do we live as a family of missionary servants? Keep asking that question, because we're going to find it together. And we're going to look at what it means to actually be the church, even in new seasons of life, and what that looks like. And then I encourage you with the partners that we have, whether it's the rescue mission, the Find Out Free, Safe Families. There are so many opportunities that we have to affect our city for the gospel. Be praying over that and be asking, man, how can God use me? And if you're new here, and maybe this is all kind of weird and crazy or something like that, it's okay. It's Radiant. We're family here. I just want to encourage you, join us. Like, we're here to actually live out what we say. We don't want this just to be a time where we come on a Sunday and that's it. No, the life of Radiant goes beyond these walls, and it goes out into our city, and it goes into our neighborhoods and our communities, and I'm so thankful for that. So join me. Join me in praying, and that's the thing I hope to grow in this next year. What I found is I kind of had my own expectations on what God was going to do with this church, and he's been breaking them down one by one to the point where I realized I had a hard time praying this last month because I was like, God, like, you keep breaking my expectations down. And it's almost like he's saying, because I'm trying to get a hold of you. I'm trying to get your attention. Trust me, follow me, and watch what I'm going to do in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your failures. And so that is what we get to look forward to as we go into 2023. And I just encourage you, the thing I'm hoping to grow in is to just recapture the heart that God has for this church, to recapture the heart he has for each one of us in what we're growing in. So I'm excited for what God's going to bring. We're going to have more details, but I just wanted to share that and just some of the things that God's been working on my heart. But let's close in prayer, and we're going to finish up with a little bit of singing, and we'll have some food afterwards. So join me. God in heaven, we just want to praise you. Thank you that you're speaking in this room today. It's not just one voice. It's all of our voices as a body, as a church that are joining together saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in the hard times, in the good times, in the forming times as you are breaking down old sinful habits and forming new life and new growth. We just ask you, Jesus, please keep working, whether that's through pruning, whether that's through the growth. And we just pray especially, Jesus, just over us as a family of missionary servant disciples. There are people that need us in this city, that need you, and you are using us to reach them. So God, help us to be obedient. Help us to follow you. Where we've gone against you, God, help us just to healthily repent and not live in shame, but live in the life that you offer through forgiveness. Jesus, I just pray in this next year that you would just remind us that you're here, that you're with us, and as long as we're willing to lay it down and follow you, that you're going to show up. You're going to speak. And God, that we can thrive and have joy in whatever circumstance you bring to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.